Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chef Rob Show. Hope we're all doing well. Tonight I wanted to go ahead and discuss a little bit more about the black population. The African-American population, is it in decline as a whole? There's just a lot of information there. You just can't really step on one thing and think that that's it. A lot of factors, and it is on decline, as some of the stuff I saw already. But it's the biggest thing I was noticing in that we're migrating to other areas in the U.S. particularly. Here in this area in Chicago, I saw something saying that up until 2009 or 2010, well, that year particularly, it was talking about out of the 200,000 people that left, changed residence in Chicago, 180,000 of them were black. So it's being in decline is kind of a tricky thing. It's just like we're migrating, but the thing that really gets to me is that the our total population, the African American population in America, is still almost the same. It's been the same for quite some time. Still, according to the census, you know, and you have to question that information. According to the census, it's saying that, hey, look, we are still at roughly 15% of the population. That number has been maintained and steady, you know, between 12 and 15%. In that roughly, you know, give or take, roughly in that area, in that range. Now, how, if we didn't have so many ills in our community, just how many of us would it be? But how would we sustain ourselves? It's time to go ahead and really sustain ourselves as a group, as a community, make it a real community. And I don't like that term when it comes to black folks in America. I don't like that thing, black community, because that signifies that we're all together. We're not on the same page. I think that's changing, but it's going to take some time. My guest tonight again is AC. AC, you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here, man. I'm here, brother.
Okay. Missed you last night.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting last night. I think it's just a matter of getting wires crossed. I actually hate the fact that I missed out on the chance to discuss with you what's going on in our world, or at least as I see it.
At least as you see it. That's you know, you were interesting. You know, I always thought they were interesting all my life. You've always been, you know, you've been always one of my heroes. It's mostly like most of, you know, that group. Always been my hero set, you know. I learned a lot from you guys, man, a whole lot.
Oh, yeah, well, I hope you understand that your hero was just passing down some of the things that he picked up from his heroes. Just happen to be members of the same family, huh? So, you know, just shouts out Brown Roberts and all of that, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to understand something here, Brother Rob, Chef Rob. How are you feeling, you know, spiritually, emotionally about what's going on here? I mean, when you were speaking of it, you sound kind of down, you know.
I do, because it was a conversation I was having with, I called into some show earlier, you know, I got snuck back home and made a call and listened to it, and I usually don't do that because I'm in the middle of some things and I'm running around, but I called into a show earlier, and they were talking about, I think it was one of the declines is the decline in morals in our people, but
of course.
They were saying, and they were all in agreement, and it was so shocking to me they were in agreement with one individual that I've hear on some of these shows that just seems like he just hates black people with his black self. And any time the bigots and the racists go ahead and say something negative about black people, he go along with it. So
a little self-hatred thing? A little self-hatred thing?
Yeah. I couldn't believe that they were agreeing with this moron. But the thing about it was one thing they were saying, and I want to see if I can try to get you to understand my position. When we go ahead, we are a type of, in America, black people in America particularly, I'm going to deal with them, it seems like we go ahead and glorify people, entertainers. And one thing is when entertainers go ahead and so-called make it, they got this thing where they're like, I did it on my own. And I really feel that's a damn lie. I think that's bullshit. I don't think none of you people made it on your own. That's a lie. I really don't. I mean, I feel that, hey, look, it's those who went before you, and they don't want to pay homage to those who went before them. You know, it's like, you know, screw them.
Okay.
And when individuals go ahead within the music industry, when they make money, profit off the pain in the industry, but don't come back and do nothing to go ahead and uplift those people that they left, because some of those people helped you, protect you, were there with you. They also gave you, helped mold your character into who you are today. And you don't come back. You know, even in, I'll step out just outside the entertainment field when I look at, you know, individuals like Jesse Jackson. The old area he come from is still run down. So when you look at the entertainers today, especially in the music
the area that he comes from. You talk about North Carolina?
Yeah. I think it was South Carolina. What? Well, he's from the Carolinas. We'll put it that way for right now. I'll make sure.
Right.
But it's individuals that go here and that tell me that they know that area, and they say things are just still pretty much the same, which I can go ahead and look at how he treated his brother. You know, there was a whole lot of problems with that. But to the entertainers who go here and say that they made it, because it was the gentleman, I'm going to call this guy a gentleman, the person that was talking today.
Call him a gentleman.
The person that was talking today was quoting something from Will Smith, and Will Smith was talking about how he made it on his own. And that's a lie. Somebody gave you a break somewhere, and besides, you know, most of the stuff you were doing. Okay, and Will Smith was a rapper. Still isn't, sort of. But he was he was selling his CDs and music to maybe the people next door, and the people next door looked just like him.
Okay.
So they were supporting him. The people in the neighborhood were supporting him. So now all of a sudden made it on your own.
Not to mention
all the people who got their ideas stolen and taken away from them. Their ideas got taken away from them. And when I look at like Elvis Presley and the stuff that I've seen and read on him, and then when you look at some of the clips of on how some of the brothers and sisters back then was making music, and they didn't want to go ahead and put their music out because new people wouldn't buy it from a black person, so you know they had a lot of white people to go ahead and sing them songs.
Yeah, that happened.
So, you know, how can you go ahead and turn your back on these people?
Well, first of all, valid points, but old topics. I mean, okay, yeah, that happened. All of that is true. Are we going to continue? Should we continue to fight that battle? I mean, because we have new battles in front of us.
Okay, wait. It's something that we need to recognize and go ahead and be aware of, and let that be aware of so we go ahead.
I agree. Yeah. I'm sure. I mean,
It must look back at our history and go ahead and determine. You can't know your future. You can't know your future until you know your past. And we must look back. You got to go ahead, in order to go ahead and determine what's going on today, you have to look at yesterday. You can't walk out the door of your place or any place or go ahead and just go out into the world and think that, okay, everything will be fine like it was yesterday. No, burger shit on your head, a cock will go ahead and flip off in front of you. You know, anything can happen.
Well, okay. Well, let me just say this.
Wait, let me make this other little point. How do you prepare when you know what didn't happen yesterday? You walk outside with an umbrella and you protect yourself with a bird shit on your head?
Well, okay, let me say this. What happened yesterday and the day before yesterday, I mean, it's basically the same thing. It's a revolving situation. And that redundancy, I mean, that redundancy in and of itself would cause a correction. You know, it might be a long time coming, but no situation can continue to exist like this when so many people are on the wrong side of the equation and so few people are on the, well, not the wrong side, so many people are on the bad side of the equation and so few people are on the good side of this equation. And you understand what I'm talking about in this situation. This situation will not continue to exist. It will make its own correction. That correction may take an extended period of time, and I know a lot of people aren't happy with that concept, or maybe they can do some things to accelerate the correction. You know, but like, I mean, I told you what camp I was in, and that's not going to happen. And I acknowledge that and recognize that. But that would be the quickest way to resolve this situation. Okay, that's not going to happen, okay?
Refresh my memory.
Hey, by any means necessary. I mean, this situation has gone on long enough to this point in time where, you know, but see, like I'm telling you, I'm old school now. If that situation was to occur, and it would have to occur in a physical sense, I couldn't really be a part of that, in all honesty. You know, I wouldn't be beneficial in that situation, in all honesty. So, therefore, it becomes difficult for me to suggest that someone else go out there, like this country is so very good at doing. It would be almost impossible for me to go out there and suggest that someone else put their life on the line to fight a cause that I believed in. I'm not that tough, you know, and I could no longer participate to the capacity that I would like to in that situation, if that's what the situation, I mean, for me, that time has passed. I thought a while back that maybe, just maybe, people had gotten tired enough of what was going on that they want to resolve the situation. And the only way I can, I told you, I've said it before, I don't know if you remember, the only way I can see truly resolving this situation is destroying it and starting all over again with something better. You can't go back to the same thing. You have to start something better. Of course, I don't believe that is going to happen. Then again, I didn't believe they'd elect a black president, so what the hell do I know?
You know what? You know that thing about, you know, starting all over? I kept hearing that from some people that deal with real estate. They were saying, hey, look, the neighborhoods are run down. They're going to let them continue to run down. You know, people are going to be buying property in there, here, and there, and there, and there. Then eventually, when what they want to have.
What I'm talking about, let me just throw this in. What I'm talking about, the concept of real estate would no longer exist. So. Now, you go ahead and say, you know, see, real estate is part of the system. All of this stuff that's going on is part of a system. They've got it well ingrained. The corruption and the abuses are systemic. You know, I mean, they even make room for loss prevention and lawsuits and things like that in any good corporation, in any longstanding corporation. They have the money there to pay for situations where they make a mistake, and they try to minimize the mistake as much as possible, as opposed to trying to make a business that doesn't make mistakes and you don't need this situation. They're not about that. Well, if the situation comes up, we can handle it. That's the way they do things. Okay? All of that, that's the thing, that's the system that I was talking about. So I know it sounds like some, what is that, Matrix stuff, but that's the situation I'm talking about would have to be eliminated, you know, in order for what everybody has always been talking about, that fresh start. Come up with
fresh
a way
start.
where you could have a fresh start without doing something like that. And like I said, I can't force anybody's hand in that situation because I couldn't participate myself. So it's just a pipe dream of mine, but I honestly think that as the way things are now, I don't see anything else happening because everything else is a capitulation. Everything else is a compromise. You leave a little bit of the cancer in.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem to work with cancer. Why would I expect it to work with any other situation?
Yeah, you're right.
So now here we are, okay? We can't do what I want to do. We can't resolve the situation once and for all. So now we're left with a situation, okay, working, okay, you. I don't know if you remember, but right before things were about to blow and they got things under control by any means necessary, by the way, they did some stuff below and above the law, or above and below the law, you know, to accomplish their goals. And their goals were to keep this situation together and keep people who were trying to justly bring it to an end from doing so. They accomplished that. okay? And then the talk was, you know, you should work within the system to resolve the issues, blah, blah, blah. And we've been in that mode since, you know, the quasi-revolution died. How has that been working for us?
You know what? Yeah, let me something came up real quick. Let me take a quick break, okay?
Okay.
Get your glass of water. Let me take a quick break.
Okay.
Oh, Louie. Oh, oh. When I'm looking at you, I keep thinking, why can't she be like you? So I'm scheming, I can't go on like this. That her love is true. Oh, standing on the dance floor while she's tricking. You are all I want, girl. She's the chicken. We might be together, but love is missing. Girl, I want you.
Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob. having a conversation with AC. AC, you still there?
Yep, holding on, holding on.
Now go ahead and finish your point.
Which point? No.
What we need to do.
Well, like I was saying, okay, the most pristine option, as far as I'm concerned, is off the table. I really don't feel, I mean, it would cause bloodshed. There would be problems, real problems. And, you know, I was down for that at one point in time. I still think it's the way to go to resolve all of the issues, but the, you know, human life cost. It's very unappealing. Okay. So now, the only thing I can see, like I said, if you allow the situation to fester as it does, then a correction will be made. I mean, no situation is going to be able to tolerate what's going on at the level that it's going on in this day and age. I mean, this whole out of work, out of home, family destroying, educationless, situation that we are swimming in right now, people won't tolerate it. And it's just that bad. From my perspective, from AC's perspective, the situation is that bad. There are too many people that are not doing well, and too few people that are. I think that's where we left off, actually. So We can wait for the natural correction, which will occur. And it might even be worse than the revolution that I'm talking about, guys. Nature gets its hands involved in the situation, and it takes it to an entirely different level. I can't even think about, you know, what might occur to finally. It just can't keep going like this. I mean, just about anything, you know, natural disasters, things like that, would have to occur to finally get people to understand that we are in this situation together. You, regardless of how much money you have, regardless of what your status is, you need everybody in this situation here that we call the United States, and those other situations and states around the world. They need everybody in that situation. I mean, you know, since they're trying to do the government thing and they're trying to do the community thing, it's not a government. If this is supposed to be a government of the people, by the people, for the people, do you honestly believe that's what's going on now? You know it's not.
No, it can't be.
Okay. So therefore, I mean, so why do you keep saying this stuff? Why do you keep saying it? You know, nobody's buying it. Nobody's falling for it. You know, and it just irritates people, which leads us closer to the natural correction. Huh?
There's some people falling for it. There's some people go ahead and believe that and all this
stuff.
Like I said,
too few people are benefiting from this situation. Too many aren't. That situation will correct itself. It might take a while. I don't know how long. But it will correct itself. And it won't be nice when it happens.
Give me an example how it's going to correct itself. You know, he was talking about natural correction. I mean, what would be something like that?
The concept of the natural correction comes from the fact that this is a situation that's bad. I mean, you know, most of the time in life, it seeks situations that are beneficial to everyone involved. That's the best situation you could be in, symbiotic situation where everybody benefits. That's not happening here. Everybody is not benefiting. It's going to make a correction where more people will begin to benefit. And it'll finally make a correction where, you know, utopia would be 100%. So I guess the best you can get is 50-50. We, you know, according to the tones of the people who are now in the street now, the summer back, the Occupy movement and the like. The situation here is more like 99 to 1 or some ratio in that area as opposed to 50-50. 50-50 would be acceptable. I mean, I don't think anyone is expecting the Garden of Eden. You messed that up. You know, I don't think anyone's expecting it. They're just expecting the present president likes to espouse, a fair shake, a fair break. Cut me some slack. I mean, come on. You know? So, you know, that would be a decent correction, but like, you know, I'm a dreamer. I like the concept of utopia. You know, I like the concept of a Garden of Eden. Personally. So.
You know, there are some people that say, hey, look, it's time to dust off them plans for the Marcus Garvey movement.
Well, what was that?
And some people go wants to go ahead and dust off the plans that Marcus Garvey had. Do you think that would go ahead and help us with this situation?
Okay. Just a tad, a tad before my time. But if I remember correctly, the Marcus Garvey movement was a response to an extremely deleterious situation. I mean, you're talking about going back to lynching and castration and, all of the other things that were going on to black people that nobody wants to talk about. That was the Marcus Garvey era. I mean, that was the era that I like to, I like to suggest, my grandparents, or in this case, our grandparents' era. My grandparents were scared to look white people in the face. Scared? That's not funny, Rob.
It's not.
Our grandparents were afraid to look white people in the face. Our parents would cuss them out behind their back. We just got flat stupid. I mean, we got flat stupid. It was like, this ain't going on. So they quickly wiped that out. They throw dope, they throw police, they throw away their constitution. First thing to go was the Second Amendment. Them brothers start walking down the streets with them bandoliers and them pump shotguns, and all of a sudden this is not a good thing for you to be able to bear arms. I really love that part. Really love that.
Checking that. I went back and saw some old clips on how Reagan done in California with the
Dudley goddamn do-right. To quote Gil Scott Heron, by the way.
Oh, I'm gonna have to get that. As a matter of fact, I got that one song. I just didn't put it up here on my switchboard. Niggas are afraid of the revolution. Niggas are scared.
No. This was I dig Niggas Afraid of the Revolution. It's still applicable. This is B movie. This is B movie. And if you really want to trip, listen to the entire Marvin Gaye album. What's going on?
Yeah. Somebody was pointing that out.
Everything on that song, that was what, 69, 70?
Right.
Everything on that song is relevant to this very day. Now, you might consider it a quirk or something like that. I consider it the fact that the same system that was in place then is in place now. And basically, headline, make you want to holler. Rocking some moonshots. Spend it on the have-nots. What? I mean, this is some, is that not simple? You got money to send people to the moon, yet and still there are people that are dying and starving and all that other good stuff on this planet. You got money to send people to the moon. People to the moon. I'm not saying that is not a noteworthy accomplishment. What I'm saying is, don't you have other priorities? I'm just asking the question. Don't you have other priorities? If the answer is no, then be man about it and tell me, no, I don't have other priorities. I would rather these people starve. These people die from diseases that could possibly be cured. I don't know. Cancer, AIDS, what have you, if they had a cure, would I know? If they had a cure, what would it take for me to know? Money? Power? I'd be SOL. I'm just saying, you've listened to that record. Everything on that record is relevant to this very day, and we're talking 30 years into the game? 40 years into the game?
So in your opinion, in that time, so how much has changed?
Huh?
How much has changed? Change. What are the positive and negative changes? Some things have changed.
First of all, there's no change, Rob. Completely honest to you, there's no change. This is cyclical. It's going in a circle. It keeps coming round and round, and I've been here for an extended period of time, and the pattern is becoming kind of obvious to me. It keeps going around and around, hitting the same licks over and over again in every aspect, and each aspect becomes more expensive. Okay, skinny jeans that they wear now, promise you, they were cheaper in the early 60s. You pay for you. Hey, because it's all, you know, my boy, he doesn't know who the hell that I am, but Grandmaster Flash, because it's all about money and the damn thing funny. You got to have a con in the land of milk and honey. What? You know, it's like right in front of you. It's like dropping right in front of you all the time. The things that are going on, the obvious things are occurring right in front of you. You know, you can trip yourself out. You know, you can get truly upset about this stuff and get off kilter about it. You know, but that's not going to change anything, and it's probably going to wind you up someplace where you really don't want to be at hospital, prison, coffins, whatever. You know. The object is to stay alive as long as you can and try to affect as many changes as you possibly can. One of the best ways to do that, and the reason that I even consider, you know, coming onto a radio show and talking about this crap, you know, is because of the hope. The message that I'm trying to give, the message that I want people to get from me is, look, you have to pay attention to this stuff. I mean, there's still two sides to every story, and in a lot of situations, a lot of people out here are just focusing in on one side. I mean, does it really hurt you to have as much information about whatever situation that you're becoming interested in, i.e., anything you think of? But right now I'm thinking of this Internet stuff, this Twitter and Facebook. You know, okay, good idea, excellent communication.
Hold it. I don't support Twitter. They kicked me off there like 4 times already.
Well, that sounds like a personal issue. No, I'm fine. So, this is the only point that I'm trying to make, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, everybody jumped on Twitter and Facebook and blah, 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 and I'm not mad at them. You know, go on and do your thing. If it makes you feel good, it makes you feel good. But now all of a sudden there seems to be a problem with information that you don't want to get out, getting out. There's another side to this. That's all I'm trying to promote. Just look at the other side. Just have the information from the other side available to you. Allow yourself to have an opinion about that instead of going, you know, wholeheartedly steadfast into a situation just because you feel it's right. You know, if it comes to feeling about something being right and knowing something's right, I'm going to choose knowing every trip.
Mm-hmm.
I like being right. I feel stupid when somebody points out that I was wrong. Now, we're talking about opinions here. Everybody has those. I'm talking about factual shit. You feel me?
Yeah, I
like
you.
Being right. If I make a statement, I tell somebody something, I like to attach my name to that crap. You know? So if it comes out to be wrong, then I look stupid. I don't like looking stupid. And plus, it doesn't benefit me if I'm trying to, you know, if I'm trying to pass on some knowledge to somebody, if I'm trying to just, you know, make somebody think, whatever it is that I'm trying to do, being wrong is detrimental to that situation. What the fuck would I listen to you? Everything out of your mouth turns out to be incorrect. Okay, so I want to pass on some good shit.
We listen to some of the wrong people, and it's sort of like the blind leading the blind.
Oh, yeah, we got a lot of that. We got a lot of that. You know, and you know, the thing about it is my concern now, I'm seeing it more and more, you know, if I had my way, and I won't, you know, I won't get my way. But if I had my way, one of the things I would bring back, I'd bring back the term Uncle Tom. On the real, come on, man. Come on, but, you know.
And who would you attach that to right off the bat?
Oh, don't. 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 Yeah. Are you
going
to go off like that?
Come on, go. Give me a list. Give me your list. Give me your list if it matches my list.
Okay. A number one has to be Clarence.
Oh.
On my part. Huh?
Oh, yeah. He's in a position to make a whole lot of changes, but this dude hit, man.
No, see, the thing about it is, I don't think it would be necessary for Clarence Thomas to affect changes, you know, not just for black people, for all people, because I think we had the discussion last week that, you know, there's a whole bunch of white people that, you know, have a right to be envious of the situation of other black people because you ain't even up to where they are. You know, there's a whole bunch of white people suffering right about now and still voting for these knuckleheads. See? So, you know, Clarence Thomas is in a position to do something for the masses, the majority of people, and he refuses to do that. So, like I said, he would be high on my list for the term Uncle and Uncle Thomas. I think that's it.
I mean, I think I'm going to go ahead and start writing out my format and go ahead and make sure I have that section of the coon of the month and the house nigga of the week.
Oh, see, that's the kind of thing that I'm trying to avoid. Labeling these people on a regular basis, man.
The Uncle Tom of the millennium. So, you know.
Uncle Tom of the millennium.
Yeah,
Uncle Tom of the millennium.
Well, we can't go ahead and get Uncle Tom of the semi-quarterly.
The millennium is 1,000 years.
Okay, so we got that. Then we can go ahead and break them down. We can go ahead and break a few of them down. They building up.
Tom of the millennium.
Well, okay. Well, we can have the house nigga the day.
Seth Rose comes to mind. House nigga of the year and Uncle Tom of the year.
Well, the coon of the week, the Uncle Tom of the month.
Okay, the coon of the whatever time period that you're trying to cut it down to, until this presidential election is over, I nominate Clarence Cain as Herman. I nominate Herman Cain as the coon until the election is over. However you want to break that down.
Hold on a minute. Let me take a quick break, man. It's something I got to go through real quick.
Do that.
Hey, let me holler at you real quick. I'm going to bring y'all back to the good old days. Feel me? Some of that. Good old ghetto. By that good old ghetto. I told my man I'm having a barbecue. So grab them folks and won't you slide right through. He brought the shorty that I used to know. It brought me back to when I was in school. She said, "Sure, where you been? You used to kick it every now and then. Remember when I used to call your phone? Come on, my mama's grown. How about them times when I had to throw? Rock at your window, let you know. Come downstairs and open the door. After that, baby, it was on the show. Now honey got my head spinning around for real, 'cause I'm thinking about how good it used to feel. And I got a girl now that don't get down like this. But I must admit I'm tempted and sort of reminisce, 'cause
ayo, ain't nothing like some good old ghetto.
Ayo,
ain't nothing like some good old ghetto.
Since I blew up and became the man that dropped his pants, that every girl around the world is dying to love. Break the rhythm, let me tell you what I'm talking about. If you're not careful, it'll turn you out. It's that place you used to go when you wanted nice and slow. Even though you can't, the memory will make you want some more. She used to understand me, touch me, hold me, taught me how to be a man. She used to kiss me, all them things she used to show me. Damn, I wish that I can do it again. Honey got my head spinning around for real, 'cause I'm thinking about how good it used to feel. But I got a girl now, yo, she's right upstairs. And I must admit I'm tempted to start the night care, 'cause
ayo,
ain't nothing like some good old ghetto.
Ayo,
body with a whole lot of body attitudes that'll make you wanna be the one you're with, cause you know how good it is. Not a prissy little missy baby, talk that slang. I used to love how she kissed me when she popped that thing. She was a friend of the fam, hot without the glam. Not wanna be tripping, she ain't really give a damn. Stop, it's what I need to do, cause I know what this needs to. If I keep on thinking about that back end, I'ma be right back in it, cause yo.
Ayo, 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 ain't nothing like some good old ghetto. Ayo, 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 ain't nothing like some good old ghetto. Ayo, 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 ain't nothing like some good old ghetto. Ayo, 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 ain't nothing like some good old ghetto.
Hello, welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob. And my, the ultimate, the best guest I think I ever had, AC. AC, you still there?
Oh. Yeah, I thought I was getting ready to, you know, I wanted to know who was coming on.
Oh, I was working on something. Well, a friend of mine stopped by, so, you know, he wants to chime in a minute. You know, he wants to get the vibe. Okay. Real quick, so I'm not gonna rush him, but I like his views, I like his thoughts. He's also my barber, so you know I plan to go.
Oh yeah, him. I've heard about the infamous tonsorist.
Man, too. I told you, man. Hey, things change, man. I'm talking about going to Africa, man. I got to take this guy with me.
Okay.
I got to go here and have me. Cause I ain't seen too many people cut my hair the way this dude do, man. I look good, man. I feel good.
I will grant you the grandest hairstyle that could possibly be conceived, but that concept of you looking good—that's far-fetched to say the least.
Look, I'm not gonna ask you. I wasn't getting a grade from you, partner. My confidence level is up. I don't give a damn what you say, man.
Yeah, I know this. That's why I can say you come from the ugly part of the family. Always have, always will.
That's
and don't
okay.
Tell your mother I said that, by the way.
I was supposed to have been over there, man, but I couldn't make it. You know, I had some issues. But.
Don't tell your mom I said that.
I'm not going to tell her. I'm just going to go ahead and take this show and put it on flash drive and take it to the crib.
Here
you know, I feel like
here
this. I feel like this. You know, you got the big woman to go ahead and put up. She go ahead and she'll wear that them clothes too tight. You know that don't fit her. And she'll go ahead and put all that meat in them shoes. And you know that don't work. You know, and she just say, fuck it, I look good. And you know, too bad you don't like it. I feel like her, that confidence level.
I got you.
All right. Yeah. So
I mean, it's always a good thing, you know, if you feel comfortable in your delusion.
Who? Excuse me?
I was hoping that would slip by you real quick, you know? I mean, you know.
But, Mitch, it almost made me slip out my damn chair. What the hell? I'm with a delusion. You talking about that?
I'm always trying to get one in there, homie. I'm always trying to get one in.
You know, let me back up a little bit. Okay, the Clarence Thomas, with his his... the way he's doing things.
I love the way he's staying basically completely silent, though. I mean, I appreciate that. I mean, you know, what's that old adage?
No. He's not being completely silent because his wife is doing the talking for him.
No, he can't be completely silent because he still votes. That's the issue, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he does write opinions. But, you know, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, I'm just glad that he's not as vocal as he could possibly be. How about that? You know, because he is a Supreme Court justice. He's the only black one on the court. And, you know, I say that tongue in cheek. You know, he's the only one who has a concentrated level of melanin in their skin. How about that? Okay, that's acceptable. And I don't know why anyone would expect, you know, his politics to possibly ease up on people with similar melanin characteristics, but, you know, that's not happening in his case.
Hi.
Okay, that's cool.
No, it's not.
Like I said, that's the top of my list. You know, like I said, Herman Cain is the coon until the election is over. But if that has nothing to do with anything except him.
What do you know? Okay, Herman Cain said a whole lot of,
you know.
Hold on.
I don't like calling brothers. I don't like calling black people coons. He's the one that put himself in that outfit, not me.
True. But let, exactly. Look, I want you to try to go ahead and remember some of the stuff Herman Cain was saying this past, you know, while he's running for.
Are you kidding? Remember? I mean, it's like somebody slashed me with a razor blade or something. Are you talking about remember?
I want you to try to remember. Try to remember at least one line that he said that you can go ahead. That you need to tear up or you can identify with. Give me a grade on.
What's that?
On Herman Cain.
Give him a grade.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's one line that he was saying during this whole time he campaigning that you can go ahead and identify with, or you can go ahead and say, they should have gone ahead and did
okay,
him.
Okay. Well, I got the saying that'll make you say okay. Okay, well, first of all, let me preface this. First of all, on a scale from 1 to 1,000, 1 being the best, okay, I give Herman Cain a score of 9, 9, 9.
So, I never knew you knew what that meant. But go ahead.
Exactly. It was supposed to be a financial plan to pull the country out of its malaise, out of its financial malaise. 9, 9, 9.
Mm.
Yeah. It 9, 9, 9. Three numbers are supposed to cover everything and resolve the issues that this country has. That in and of itself is ridiculous. You know, absolutely ridiculous. And then the more he finally had to change it to 909. He had to alter it and dicker with it here and there. You know, simply because it was the stupidest, silliest shit that a coon ever let come out of his mouth. And wait a minute, I have to take that back. There have been some other coon statements, but I'd have to wait for them to come to mind. That was the cooniest I've heard in quite some time, though.
I didn't know he altered it to 909.
Oh yeah, that was because basically the plan was rife with
maybe because I stopped listening to him.
And that's what I'm talking about, Chef Rob. You got to keep listening. I mean, the more you listen, the more you realize that these people don't know what the hell is going on. So why would you follow them? I know that people have a tendency when Mitt Romney talks, they turn the TV off, they turn the channel. Oh no, now, that's what hit me to Fox News. I actually used to watch that program until it got absolutely positively ridiculous. But, you know, I'll say, okay, what is it that they have to say? And
you were looking, you were watching them to go ahead and see, you know, seeking information, seeking news.
Seeking information. And the information that I got was, don't waste your time. You know, and when I listened to Mitt Romney talk. I listened to Mitt Romney talk. More so than anything else, I listened to what he's not saying. You know, I'm still trying to deal with a president of the United States. I love to do stuff like this. Scarface, Tony Montana. He's down in Colombia. He's trying to cut a deal to keep him going to jail with Sosa. Sosa needs him to kill this. Sosa needs him to kill this reporter that's, you know, putting out all this information about his people selling all of this cocaine. Okay. So the reporter comes on and he's talking about the defense minister of, I think it's Colombia. Bolivia, the defense minister of Bolivia. He has a chateau in Switzerland. If he's the defense minister of Bolivia, why does he need a chateau in Switzerland? And then I'm thinking about Mitt Romney with bank accounts in the Caymans, bank accounts in Switzerland, and being president of the United States.
And what?
And you don't have a problem with this picture.
Well,
you don't have a problem with the president of the United States having offshore bank accounts.
that's because they hate the nigga in the White House. And also, don't forget,
I get all of that. But the stupidity starts to become obvious here. I mean, if you got a problem with a Bolivian defense minister in a fictitious program having a bank account in Switzerland, having a chateau, a house in Switzerland, how do you feel about somebody having all of that money in a Swiss bank account? There's only one reason that you put money in Swiss bank accounts. So nobody can know that you got it there because they can't get into it. Why would you want to do something like that as president, and run for president of the United States?
But they don't see it that way, man.
I'm the one that has to vote for one of these clowns. I'm the one that is living under the financial tyranny. I mean, just because you don't ride through and steal my animals and rape my wife doesn't mean that this isn't a form of tyranny. You're being a tyrant with the money, with the resources. I mean, you know, you keep running this shit about other people, by the people, for the people, and you keep running the same at the same time, you're telling me that this is the richest country in the world. Then how is it that I don't know about it, and how is it that so many of my people don't know that this is the richest country in the world? How did that happen? Why does that happen? Especially considering that if right now, if you gave some black people some money, they're going to spend that shit, and it's going to boost your, it's going to jack your economy up like it was on steroids. Believe me.
Hey, do you think if they, let me veer off a little bit. Do you think if they go ahead and say, okay, well, we think you deserve reparations, you know, here's a few.
Like, I don't even see.
Wait, let me say this. Do you think we'd go ahead and invest in properties or back Cadillacs?
First of all, before I answer that question, I don't even like the term reparations.
Why?
The problem that I have with reparations is, okay, we have to talk about the other persuasion. You know, a lot of people like to say white people. I don't like to say that, but you know who I'm talking about, okay? If they had any sense at all, they would have taken the reparations deal, because the reparations would have allowed them to say, okay, we acknowledge the fact that you got dogged out in the situation, and we have resolved the situation. Shut the fuck up and get to work. That's what reparations allows them to do. It allows them to clear their conscience. They paid your motherfucking ass off, shut up, and get back to work. True or false?
I'm neutral.
Huh?
I'm neutral.
You're neutral. Okay, you can't be neutral. Is that a fact? Does that have a factual basis? Is it bullshit?
It's factual. I ain't gonna go against that.
Okay. So therefore, like I said, now they got you by the balls. You can't complain anymore. You can't whine about what they did. You can't whine about the fact they snatched you from your motherland, blah, blah, blah. Basically, they have minimized the damage that could be caused by the fact that they committed the most heinous crime, including the Holocaust. Please. The most heinous crime ever committed on this planet. They just bought their way out of. Now shut the fuck up and go back to work.
Mm.
So the idea of reparations don't appeal to me at all. And I wouldn't have bought a Cadillac with the money. I don't know what everybody else would have done, but Cadillac is overrated if you think I'm going to spend my reparations money on this shit.
Yeah.
So I would have invested it. Because I really want to wake up one day, have my family running this shit. I like that idea. But the only thing wrong with that is, you know, they'd probably be running the same system that is choking people out as we speak. Because I don't think they would change. You know, you get to that position. See, it's the system. It's not even the people anymore. That's my belief. It's the system. I mean, if you become a part of, you know, and that's
okay.
Capitalism just doesn't work because it's designed so that few are going to benefit and most are going to suffer. That's the basis of capitalism. Sooner or later, it has to work out that way. You know,
money keeps running to the top. Wait, the thing that you were just saying is the system. It's not the people. But you still got a lot of people still supporting the system and supporting what they were taught, especially dealing with us. And they put out their books and all these notes and all these studies on how we're inferior and stuff like that.
They want to give you a lot of material to read. You know, so you can make an enlightened decision.
So what's wrong with reading?
They give you a lot of material to read, Rob.
Okay.
Do you really need material to understand? Do you need to read anything to understand what's going on in some of the darker neighborhoods in our country? Do you need to read something to understand that, or don't you already know? So reading becomes a waste of time.
I say I already know because it seems like you can't go ahead and talk to somebody from any area in this country and not go ahead and hear a similar story. And you've been here. We've been hearing that for years.
That's another thing I get off of. That's the length and width of it, Rob. You can't talk to anybody, you know, without getting this feedback. Check the depth of it, Rob. How long has this been going on?
That's the shit
that'll piss you off. I mean, this isn't a two-dimensional situation. It's three-dimensional, you know? It's high, it's wide, and it's deep. And the depth is what that. Man, how long has this been going on?
Yeah, that's what I meant when I said earlier about our history. A lot of people want to go ahead and wipe that part out about our history. And now you know why,
because history adds the depth.
I was talking about the Marcus Garvey movie, is it time for us to dust off them planes? And Marcus Garvey came at a time when there was lynchings and a lot of killing you.
The system was truly twisted.
Not as drastic as that, but it's similar to that today. And that history, that part, I don't even see something where we even go ahead and say, hey, look, let's go ahead and have a Memorial Day for that. I think it's time for a Memorial Day for something like that. And what I see now is with a lot of black people, it seems like, hey, look, they want to sweep that under the rug and don't even think about it. Want to go ahead and just forget about that. You know, that brings me back also what I was saying about a lot of these entertainers. And for me, honestly, I think you can't go ahead and be rapping or singing about the things that's in the community, glorifying it, and then about how you were selling drugs and raping girls and all this other stuff. I wouldn't want you coming back on the street. I think I'd have to throw a 40 at you or something like that. That's wrong. You can't be glorifying them. Go ahead and glorifying that whole the whole thing and then profiting off the pain of the community. I hate that.
Who are you talking about?
Well, I don't want to mention them right now, but it's a bunch.
No. I'm talking about. Okay, talk about Strada then. You don't have to mention names.
Some of the entertainers, the big name entertainers.
That's what I'm talking about.
The ones in the music industry and the other side of that. Hold on.
Are you talking about the artist?
Yeah. Well, let me finish. I'm
trying to figure out who you're talking about. That's all. You're talking about the artist.
The artist. Okay.
Okay.
And so I'm just talking about their, because I know that they're puppets too, you know, the people who pull in their strings. Okay. But the other side of that is that there's other music out there that our people that we can be listening to and to go ahead and give you a little bit of message. But recently I've been seeing it, hearing it, and it's not as coming off as preachy as it was before. It's giving you a really solid message about what's going on. I went and looked. I'll try and pull it up again. But I was looking to see how many people had put out some kind of video, some music about the Trayvon Martin situation. And believe me, I was shocked when I saw there was a lot of individuals who had put out that music. But we don't know about it. Because here's the thing. You know that the so-called black radio stations in Chicago are owned by white folks.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to put out the message to go ahead and try to get...
The light. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to put out no message to go ahead and so you can uplift yourself and get yourself together. And then something else I noticed. I remember, and even up to a few years ago, that a lot of the black stations would go ahead and have forums. They would stop the music and go ahead and discuss what's going on in the community. They don't do nowhere near that no more.
I guess it wasn't a popular program. Wait a minute now. I mean, I seem to remember mentioning the fact that, you know, it's not the people, it's the system. I mean, you're talking about the artist, okay? They are duplicitous in this situation. I would not deny that. But, you know, all of the money that Jay-Z made, okay, somebody like Jay-Z, somebody like Beyonce, all of the money that they made off of their records or appearances, all of the money that they've made off their careers, you have to understand that someone had made even more off of their career. You see what I'm saying? Off of Beyonce and Jay-Z. Okay. Now, that's systemic. I mean, you know, look, Rob, Chef, okay. My perspective. I don't know how other people feel about this. As a matter of fact, I could probably guess, but, you know, guesstimation isn't allowed. My perspective on that situation. How can someone else make more money on what it is that you do than you do? How can you justify that?
Yeah. Why you don't have more
money? I'm putting out the product.
They doing?
Yeah, you're distributing it, and, you know, blah, 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 but I'm the artist. I'm the one that's putting this out here, and you're making more money off of this situation than I am. And I don't care who you is. I mean, I don't care if you is Sony Records, RCA, whatever. How can you make more money off of me than I make? If I'm involved in a business and I'm putting forth all of the effort, all of the work, all of the product, I mean, because, you know, I don't remember anybody from Sony or RCA or any of those other record companies getting out there and dancing or getting out there spitting raps when these boys and when these people are performing. I don't remember that. So how is it that you make more money off of this situation than I do?
And I remember when the, let me see, what's her name from TLC, the one that died?
Yeah.
The one that died, she actually did a video on that. She was talking about
that.
No, she was in a video about that. She was in some something about that. And she was talking about how they get points for the song. Okay? And they do it like a 10-point scale.
Uh-huh.
And so she was saying usually the people who go ahead and the performers, the artists, get under 3 points.
Okay, I'm not an artist. I guess, you know, if they want to be happy with their 3 points, you know, that's all fine and good, especially considering. I'm okay. My cousin. What? No. My cousin.
That better be something for later tonight. That's you better hear.
Let me see. Hello. Are you the
Hello,
cousin?
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, whatever he tells.
Are you a man or a woman?
Oh, okay.
How you doing?
You a man?
You
a man?
I'm gonna play this back for you. We on the radio, Veronica.
Where you live at?
Okay. We're
where
on the
you
radio.
Live at? I don't care about being on the radio. Where you live at?
We on the radio. We live.
Okay, I don't care about being live on the radio. I just want to know if you anywhere close to Berkeley, Illinois.
Yes, I am.
Who I'm live on the radio with?
My cousin.
Well, who are you talking to on the radio? What you having
Yeah.
Man, because they're getting crazy. Yeah, man. You know, what he's saying, it makes a lot of sense, man. So, what do you think about that, man?
What?
What he was saying.
Because I missed a small part when I went upstairs.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, we were talking a little bit about the music industry. I mean, you go ahead and you cut hair. What do you think? You're on, buddy. You're on. Your time now. Your time. Don't go ahead and get cold feet on me now, bro.
What I think about the music industry?
Yeah.
I think the music industry is pretty much watered down except for a few scattered real hip-hop artists that you hardly hear anything from. mainly because they refuse to give up that creative control, I think. But they still got a pretty good effect on the listeners they do have.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to keep hip hop culture at its the way it's supposed to be, really.
What how was it supposed to be?
I mean, it was all about a message first off, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it was a lot of storytelling.
That's the thing you said there. That's a message. It was about a message.
It was about
the message now is messed up.
Right. It's not really a message at all now. It's just talking shit. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, anybody can talk shit. That's what we do on a daily basis. We can play the dozens or whatever. We can talk shit, you know, all day, but there's no real substance behind it. Back then, though, they some people glorified it, but for the most part, it was conscious rap. And they weren't really trying to glorify it, but they're just letting you know
about what was going on. A lot of it was party music and what was going on.
Right, because a lot of people outside of the ghetto didn't really know what was really going on in the ghetto, but we was already viewed as the most fucked up people on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we had to really let them see.
Mm-hmm.
And back then they knew that, and right now they, who knows what the hell they're doing, I don't know.
I mean, you talk to some of these guys, man, they come through the shop, don't they?
Yeah, few.
What are their views? I mean, you talk to them. You know, best person to go here and get some worldly views. And one of the best people is barber.
Right.
They tell you a lot of things. You know, doctor, barber, you know, stuff like that. You know, hey, it's cool.
Right.
Go ahead, tell me, man.
They don't say much. Mm-hmm. As far as the rap, I don't.
They don't say much. They don't say not much about what they think about. See, that's no reason y'all stop playing them damn videos and go ahead and play some of the news cycle, you know.
Right.
So we go ahead and, hey, how you, what are your views on that? Because that's real stuff.
Right. They don't see that. That's.
See, what, you know, you got, you know, I know you got a conflict over that with
yeah,
ideology,
you know,
with the other barbers. But the thing is, hey, you know, that's real worldly stuff. So
mm-hmm.
It should be go ahead and look there.
We should be, but I'm probably like the only worldly person in my shop. That's it.
we're working on getting you another shot.
Yeah, right.
We're working on getting you another shot.
But I mean, they all cool dudes, but they, you know, they stuck in another world, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one likes a lot of cars, the other one likes a lot of everything else. Everything that make them feel good, that's what he into. And
that's materialism, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
AC, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening to the brother. Oh, the brother have another name besides Barber, man?
This my buddy. This Pee-wee.
Pee-wee? Okay.
We're calling Pee-wee right now.
I'll accept that. I'll accept the brother Pee-wee. How's it going, man?
How you doing?
I'm hanging in there, man. Hanging in there. I just, you know, I'm old. I was an old head coming to the rap game. I heard you talking about, you know, speaking about the rap game. Who would you consider some of the more positive members of the rap community at this point in time? I kind of lost touch.
I kind of say, like, you have your people like Mos Def, Khalid.
Okay.
Nas is he a little back and forth to me, but he okay.
Okay.
Common Sense.
Oh, you go back to Common Sense, huh? Okay. I dig that.
Yeah, I got into some of his recent stuff.
Uh-huh.
Latest album I haven't heard. And the one before it was I wasn't a real big fan of that.
What,
one, but
what the one I haven't heard his latest, but
one with Universal Mind Control on.
Was that the corner? Or was that one after the corner?
No, the corner was before that.
You're talking about the Africa Bambaataa mix.
Yeah.
Joint.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay. That all sounds good. It doesn't say. I mean, you know, doesn't say a lot about all of the names that I hear, you know, most often, you know. But that all sounds good. That falls in line with basically, you know, the things I listen to now. you know, from that genre.
Right.
Because the genre dates me. I can't even dance to that music anymore. too many malfunctions happening. But I do hear some fantastic things that I really like. You know, as far as message lyrics are concerned. You know, anybody can put a tight beat out there.
Yeah, you got some new ones. I've only heard Kendrick Lamar's album once, but he seemed to have a little more substance in his music than a lot of other rappers. And B.O.B.
B.O.B.
Yeah, he always telling a pretty deep story. Lupe Fiasco, too.
Lupe?
Yeah.
Oh, he was that. Yeah, I met him but
yeah.
I'll tell you about that later, man. Hey, I got another brother on the line. This is a dynamic brother here, man. I love what he does, man. I love that message. And you know, we're talking about music a little bit, and some of the music you've been playing on this show, I enjoy it. And I would like him to go ahead and give me that whole list. Send me everything, man. You know, if I got to come down there, I got to come down there. Brother Drew, you there?
Hey, greetings. Hey, how y'all doing? Brother Shell, Brother AC, how you doing? All right, another brother.
Was it West Virginia, Brother Drew?
What's that again?
Or was it Virginia or West Virginia?
It's Texas.
Texas. Oh,
yes,
okay.
Sir.
Oh, deep. Okay. No, there was a sister calling you from Virginia there.
No,
last time I spoke with you.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I know
what you're talking about. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, brother. Like I said, I was telling Brother Drew the other day. He was, you know, he was touching nerves right in my backyard. The sister talking about Brother Fred Hampton. Man, goodness gracious! And then he played a song that brought back some memories because those were some of I remember those being some of Fred's favorite sayings that the brother was spitting. So yeah. Like I said, Brother Drew Robb turned me on to your station. I was quite glad that he did that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's what we do, Brother AC. We just network and listen to good brothers like yourselves. And that's how we all going to overcome this obstacle in front of us, just by networking with each other. And no
true
big eyes, no little U's, just networking.
True that.
Brother Drew.
Yes, sir.
I want you to, you know, I love that music. And what was it called? Piggly Wiggly? What was it? AC, what was it again?
Yeah,
Piggly
Wiggly.
Man, you got to send me all, man. You got to send me all that one, especially that one. I got to go ahead and really play that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just like I was telling you about the Marvin joint, about what, you know, what's going on. That was back in, I remember that distinctly. That was back in the late 60s, early 70s, and it's like, man, what, nothing's changed? I mean, this is still relevant? This is still active to this very day? Stuff I was listening to when I was in high school? Oh, man. So that's the perspective I'm dealing from.
Yeah, that's the way I was thinking, too, Brother AC. You know, you look back on all the sacrifice that the brothers and sisters in that era did on behalf. And then we back at the same point again. It's like I don't know if that's a 360, 180, whatever it is. It's a negative.
It's a wheel. We're on a wheel. And all we're doing is moving the wheel forward. And in order to stay where we are, we have to move the wheel at a certain speed. And we keep coming around to the same bump, keep coming around to the same ugliness, going down the same road.
Yes, sir. So we're trying to figure out,
Right. Well, in all honesty, like I was telling Brother Chef Rob earlier today, I unabashedly state that the only way I can see to end this situation is destroy the wheel. It's the only thing I see. Anything else,
right,
is a capitulation as far as I'm concerned. You're going to have to have a little bit of the cancer staying around, and you know what happens when a little bit of the cancer stays around. Sooner or later, it's right back to the strength it was before.
And that's right.
So,
and if we learn from some of our brothers' mistakes, and that's what it was, Brother AC, some of our, you know, even the Black Power movement back then when they started mixing, you know, I don't know, man. I just been watching and paying attention. it seems like you just can't let it in. If you let it in, it's going to spread, like you're saying, Brother AC. I don't care what it is, how you try to deal with it, try to network with it, it just ain't going to work.
Well, see, then it becomes, Brother Drew, it really becomes a problem then because, okay, now, you know, we have truly been, and I hate this term, we've truly been integrated. I mean, I grew up, when I was a youngster, I could pass. And Brother Drew, I'm sure you know what that means. I know Chef Rob knows what it means. I could pass. And slowly but surely, I got a little bit darker because the melanin side was stronger than the other side. You know, my grandfather was white. I guess they call him 100% because a drop of blood disqualified you back then. My grandfather was white. Okay, but now, you know, it first of all, good, bad, or indifferent, I don't know which, but, you know, my grandfather never had any dealings with my grandmother after he did what he had to do. He moved on to other territory with white people. That's not happening now. So the situation that, are we fighting it? Or the people that we deem in control of the situation, I don't even know how this shit works anymore. But they are now part of our family. That I know. They are part of my family. You know, plain and simple.
Right.
So, okay, so now what do I do? I can't, you know, like I said, because I'm espousing complete destruction. And you're espousing complete elimination of these people from the situation so that we can, the same thing that Malcolm said before he made the Hajj. You know, we can't solve our problem. We can't help you, you know, we can't get you into helping us solve our problems until we can solve our problems or something to that gist. You know, he was basically saying, no, y'all ain't invited in until we get ourselves together. Well, now, like I said, now you're talking about eliminating members of people's families because that's how far this situation has gone without being resolved. You have, you know, an incomplete thought process in the people who are trying to find themselves, who are trying to rid themselves of whatever it is that they deem is keeping them down. And you can't keep saying, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's nothing keeping me down, you know, but, and continue to deal with what we're having to deal with. Oh, yes, there's something keeping you down. There's a force there, a tangible force that is allowing you not to succeed. And if you're suggesting that sounds defeatist, well, then that's your problem. I mean, because, you know, it's not like I'm letting this thing stop me. I'm doing everything I can every day, slanging and banging to make sure that this thing doesn't stop me. And the advancement is not happening. Just that.
You know, the more we keep talking about it, the more it wakes up some people. It just gets the conversation going.
Like the Brother Drew said, it's just a matter of networking. You know?
Yeah. So and I love what Brother Drew do, man. Oh man, that's why I try to catch the show as much as I can, because it helps. This one of them shows that inspire me. But Brother Drew, back to the music real quick. All right.
What was that again?
So,
Back to the music. Yes.
The music that's been.
You got a basement. You got a basement full of vinyl somewhere, Brother Drew. Is that how you playing that?
I just get this. I let the ancestors tell me what to play, man. It'd be right on time,
man.
Every time.
I want to promote some of that music. You need to get me some of that stuff, man. I'm letting you know right here. And you go ahead, you say something funny. I'm gonna keep playing this clip over and over. Your response.
Right.
Now, you gonna go ahead and get me that music soon?
Trying to take from the brother's show.
What'd you say, AC?
You're trying to take from the brother's show.
I'm not trying to take from. I love that music. I ain't dating. I want to go. I love that music. I want to go ahead. Not only just play it on my show, I want to play it in my car, in my house. I want to put the speakers out in my front yard so everybody know what's happening. So, Brother Drew, are you gonna give me that music? You gonna give me that music?
I can start emailing you some as quick as tomorrow. Well, maybe not say tomorrow evening.
Well, you send me a couple. I keep playing them. I didn't want to go ahead and repeat the stuff you had on your show, but I'm gonna start putting them on my switchboard.
Okay, yeah, that's some that's some good liberating music, man.
Man, because it was really, really nice. Yeah. But some of the, a lot of them brothers got that real got they got real good information there, and it wasn't preaching. It was nice. It was nice vibes. And that's what that was something that really captured me, because I don't want nobody just go ahead, you know, almost like talking down to me, but go ahead and put me on that same level. I felt comfortable with a whole lot of the music. And that's what I'm not seeing when I go ahead and look at the other side, is what I was trying to tell you, AC. The other side is not, you know it yourself, but they're not putting out nothing like that. They're just going ahead and profiting off the pains in the community, off our ills. And these pain profiteers are really someone that we really need to come after. And I would like to see the people that's going here, like the stuff that Brother Drew's playing, I'd like to see them come at them a little bit harder. Expose them for what's going on. And then also let them know that this is one way that they go ahead and they start capturing the youth. And that's what I was trying to explain to somebody earlier, and they were like, I'm not making no sense. But that does make a lot of sense, because everybody ain't screening what their kids are listening to.
Right.
And you need to go ahead and do that. If you're going to go ahead and make sure your kid's going to be a good person, you need to go ahead and listen to, pay attention to who's giving him the message, because you ain't giving him the proper message. A lot of us living our lives through fantasy and TV. That's fucking ridiculous. You got to deal with real life stuff. You agree?
Well,
yes, sir.
TV is real life stuff, right, Chef? TV is
man,
real
I'm
life.
Hey,
real life stuff is what we see on a daily basis. Real life stuff is things that are in existence. TV is in existence. I'm all for controlling how much of an input it has on the lives of young people and so forth and so on. But at some point in time, they're going to make their own decisions about that. Then what happens?
Okay, so let me be a little bit more specific.
The most you can hope for is to be a guide to, you know, to basically show them the difference, like we were shown, the difference between what's good, what's bad, what's right, what's wrong, and that's a quantitative.
Hold on. Now we shouldn't be going ahead and questioning whether the Brady Bunch was a legitimate family. Okay. We shouldn't be having no questions around what was those types of programs or any of that. It should be some stuff teaching you about yourself. That should be the conversation.
Okay, you brought it up. So what was the Brady Bunch?
Well, some bullshit.
Yeah, it was a fictitious portrayal of how they thought life should be. Up to it, and we weren't trying to live up to it. So it was a waste of time that garnered a lot of money for a few kids and basically wasted time on television space, like basically most of the programs that they put on now.
Exactly.
Why would they try to impart knowledge on you, Chef Rob? Not at this point in time. It's not happening. They're not trying to impart knowledge on you. They're not trying to impart knowledge on your children.
But the thing about it is,
situation up for generations to come.
It was always pushed and promoted. Always pushed and promoted.
And it's still pushed and promoted. I am fortunate enough now in my life to not know the names of some of the Hollywood superstars. You know, I mean, these people are making, you know, billions of dollars for the studios, millions of dollars for themselves, and I've never seen anything that they've made, because I don't particularly care for TV programs unless, you know, they're ones without commercials, and I don't get into the vampire, you know, all of this other stuff this crazy new kind of love situation they have. Well, I don't get into that. So none of that stuff affects me. Now, my children, I'm sure they're blown up on this stuff, man.
Yeah, see. Okay. But, okay, let me get back to the topic here. I want to ask you brothers again. Do you think the African-American population is on decline? And which ways do you think it's on decline? Start with you, Brother Drew.
Oh man, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked that, man. If we go back and look at the Garvey movement, when Garvey called for 10 million people to come out in the street, nobody ever duplicated that. Not even a million more movement. Garvey moved 10 million at one time. Now you go back and you think, Chef Brother AC, another brother that's on the line. You think, what happened to all these Garvey nights? there was 10 million people moving at one time in the early 1900s. Were they replacements? You know, I know somebody had to pick up the fight. Some of the children, some of the friends. What happened to 10 million people that moved at the same time? So that's your answer right there, brother. And when you see it's just a remnant of us now who care and who's speaking out. So I'm going to just answer that one with that. You know, but that's a question we need to ask. What happened to all those people that was moving?
Mm-hmm.
And why is no replacement?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, I'm asking the question here, Brother Drew. Didn't some of Marcus Garvey's people basically help settle the Liberian situation? Wasn't the Garvey situation a forerunner to liberation of Liberia and Liberia being a free country? Weren't some of those people the people that made Liberia what it is, or am I mistaken?
I'm going to have to research that one too, Brother AC, before I answer, but what
well,
happened
I'll
to brothers
check
over
it out. I thought, well, but, I, you know, man, numbers of black people disappearing, as you're describing, always been something.
Yeah, that's
know.
What I'm saying.
Hold on. The Liberian situation was during that Lincoln period. Okay, he wasn't doing that Marcus Garvey period first.
Okay. Isn't that where Marcus Garvey was ultimately trying to get to then, Liberia?
No, I think it was. I got to look at that one up.
I think
Zimbabwe.
For some strange reason, I think there was a Liberian connection to the Marcus Garvey movement. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I could
say
be wrong.
Again?
I thought there was a Liberian connection.
No, he was
saying, black, green.
That was going to be the place he wanted to land, wanted to put everybody. I think that's what it was. I got to look that up. But I think it was Tanzania or Zimbabwe. I believe it was Tanzania where he was trying to get us to.
Okay.
I know that Liberia flies red, black, and green flag, though.
Right. So.
Along with their red, white, and blue.
So now, like I was telling Chef Rob, we were discussing earlier, Brother Drew. Marcus Garvey's movement was a response to a catastrophic situation for our people. I mean, you know, white people might not have cared about it, but what was going on in this country at that time? You know, hey, maybe getting up out of here and getting some hat really wasn't a bad idea. I mean, what was going on here? Like I said, it was tyranny. That was physical tyranny. I mean, Brother Rob and I, Chef Rob and I were talking earlier about financial tyranny, which is what we're dealing with now. But that was physical tyranny. So the concept of Marcus Garvey, I really can't say that was a bad idea. I mean, you know, if things are going on like this, it can't be a bad idea to say, hey, we need to get up out of here and go find us something else, which is basically what he said. So how will we handle something like that now? Because, you know, picking up sticks ain't even in the brothers and sisters' minds in this country, especially since this country is very proud of telling them that United States is the best country in the world. Whether that be true or not, the propaganda has worked because there are people that actually believe that. So now what? I mean, how do we resolve this situation? You know, nobody wants to leave here. Nobody really wants to resolve the situation. Everybody seems to be hoping that, you know, they somehow aspire to the higher end of this situation when really there is no higher end. The only thing you can get out of this is more money. And, you know, that's still not going to help the situation of, you know, you're going to be the only one in your family in most cases that has this more money. And you're going to watch the rest of your family continue to suffer the things that you used to suffer.
Right.
I don't know how you can deal with that, but if you can, more power to you. I couldn't, you know, I'd have a hard time dealing with a situation like that. I'm living high off the hog, and everybody else that I grew up with is suffering. I'd have a problem with that. Or most of the people that I grew up with suffering, or some of the people that I grew up are suffering, or any of the people that I grew up with are suffering. I'd have a problem with that.
Hold on. See, that's what I was saying. See, the individuals who go ahead and lead a community and don't come back and really recognize what was back there, what they left. That's feeding to that, you know, these selfish ass so-and-sos. You can't go ahead and tell me that you made it, okay? without going ahead and recognizing the people that you left who gave you your character, okay? And so I really feel that, you know, all these, a lot of people out here that made profit off the pain or going off our pain or going ahead and glorifying the ills in the community, they really need to go ahead and come back and do something.
Okay, well, the only question I would have, Chef Rob, is how are you intending on this recognition exhibiting itself?
What okay, well, you know, when I get up to 1 million listeners, we're going to do something.
Okay. 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 I'll accept that.
Just keep the message going.
Yep, that sounded like y'all was describing some of these leaders, you know, Jesse. That was Jesse Jackson you're describing.
Ooh,
right? I know y'all didn't say that, but I did.
Oh, we mentioned him earlier.
I mentioned him often.
Okay,
Well, let me say this, okay. Y'all going to talk about Jesse.
Yeah. Yeah, but.
I've had the pleasure of meeting Jacqueline Jackson. So let me just say right here, peace and blessings to the sister. I mean, she's an extremely wonderful person. But I'm going to leave it at that. Ms. Jackson is a fantastic person. Okay, now, Jesse, whoo, boy. That's another issue.
Yeah. You know what, Brother AC, that's been part of our problem, though, man. And we allow that to keep going on because we allow these people. We know what these people are doing. We know they are lying in their pocket. We know that, like you were saying earlier, Brother Chef, that they get out of the community and they forget about the woes of the people. And we just allow this to keep on happening. We got it going on, man, where brothers in Dallas, Texas, we all picking at a particular service station for racism, and they go and have a thank you meeting with them. To just get, you know, the little dividends. I mean, it's
well,
just
I love the
blatant disrespect. Yeah, it's blatant disrespect, man. I'm tell you, we're going to have to take stuff to another level. Like you said, we got to break this wheel. And somewhere in order to break the wheel, somebody's going to have to do something different.
My question to you, exactly where is our top priority? What should be, I mean, you start beating on this monster.
Security.
What's the apex? Huh?
Security.
Okay.
I'm talking about the wheel. I'm not talking about the organization that's been assigned to bring down the wheel. I'm talking about the wheel itself.
Okay.
So whatever parts that you think is the most vulnerable, I understand the analogy. But what
we,
I'm trying to
we
understand
lack
is, okay,
security.
What is it? Where do we hit first? What is it that we should do first? You know, to try to resolve
well,
the situation.
You can't do
we
nothing
lack,
without like it, yeah, defense and land.
Ooh.
So, yeah. I mean, without land, you can't do nothing. You got to have somewhere where you're gonna have a base.
Are you espousing the tenets suggested by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? Give us a cache of land like maybe Colorado, Nebraska, and Kansas, and stay the hell out of our way and let us do our thing.
Yeah, we definitely. The same thing with the Native Americans. Even though it was there, that's a big hustle. But even though it was there, they gave them a place they can call their own.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But you know the deal on
the Native Americans, the concept of owning land was like sacrilege to them. It was like, what are you talking about? Well, you don't own the land. The land basically takes care of you.
And the original Africans
the way around.
Same way. Hold on. The Africans felt the same way.
Oh yeah.
Africans felt there are some similarities there. So you know, what they did to the Indians, it was just almost identical to what they did to us. So we also need our own space too.
Well, you know, the wheel keeps turning, and contrary to the belief of black people, it's rolling over a bunch of people along with you. You know?
Security,
like you said, the Indians will get it. If the Asians get in front of the wheel, they'll get it. You know, if Eskimos get in front of the wheel, they'll get it. So, like I said, it's the wheel. The will has to be taken care of, because the will is the one that's doing all of this damage. Now, yeah, you know, you got those same people pushing it and making sure that it gets stronger and bigger, but it ultimately is the will that has to be destroyed.
Okay, hold on.
And I said destroyed.
The will. Hold on. I keep saying security. You have to go ahead and put increased securities for us to protect us from the laws and all that other stuff. You also have to go ahead and break down their security system so we can go ahead and see a little bit more about what's been happening.
You honestly think they're going to let you get in a situation where you can be protected from their laws?
I feel that we're in position to do stuff, but we're not going ahead and getting together. The networking thing helps us go ahead and do that.
I'd like to hear that, how that's going to happen. How we
What did I just say? The networking thing, like what Brother Jew is doing and a few others that I know, that is going ahead and putting us into a position. We're not ready to go all out yet. I realize that.
Okay.
Brother Drew. The networking thing, the more the communication is going, that is what helps put us in position to go ahead and do a lot more things. You cannot go ahead and fight this by yourself. You need help. A lot of help.
Oh, hey.
Uh-huh.
This is the biggest, strongest, ugliest monster that I've ever known in my life. You honestly think that I ever thought about doing this by myself? It's part of the reason that I even allowed my voice to be heard on the radio station. Hey. I think it's worthwhile. I think it's something that has to be done at some point in time. I don't even see it being done before I check out of this bad boy. Although I'd like to, but if it's done after I leave, I'll be happy with that.
Well, you know one thing, Brother AC, you always got the power to make history. I tell you that much.
What'd you say earlier? You didn't ever think you ever see a black president?
Oh, yeah. Oh no. I'm always hopeful. Always hopeful. I mean, basically, that's the only card that I've been given. So, yeah, I play it as much as I possibly can. Maybe this will happen. Damn this should happen. Ooh, I wish this would happen. I'm always hopeful, but you know, there's a pragmatist that's deep inside me too.
You know what I think, brother? I think everybody's looking for an example of what it. I mean, really, you know, I think everybody's waiting for an example of what it's supposed to be like.
Exactly. That's what I meant.
Everybody needs a leader.
Okay, you need to have one message.
But it needs to be some kind of message,
and almost on the focus on the same thing, and the same thing is survival and family, and you can put them on either.
Okay. Well, let me offer this to that equation then, okay? I'm going to give you this. There is something wrong. Don't allow yourself to deny the fact that there is something wrong. This situation is not supposed to, I'm not suggesting that I know what's wrong. I'm not suggesting that I know how to follow, how to solve it, but I am telling you this. There is something wrong with what's going on. Start from there. It has to be changed. It can't continue to be as it is. There's something wrong, and it has to be changed. Go from there. Whatever you want to come up with to resolve this situation, I'm down. As much as I can possibly be down at this point, I'm down. But go from there.
Yeah.
Don't delude yourself to think that this situation is supposed to be the way it is.
That's right.
That's the ultimate ridiculous fantasy.
Right. I remember that movie Platoon. Y'all remember that movie Platoon with came out a while back. I remember what the actor in there, I think that was the black comedian, said. He said they're putting something in our food so we won't fight. And that's what's happening. You know, when you were talking about we've been integrated from more than one way. Not only are we mixing with them, but they done mixed some in us that make us, like that brother said, pacifists. Well, we will love everything. You know, they said something was in the soil, and some in the water, some in the milk. And so I think that's what happened, brother. We've been fixed on a voodoo trick. It's white magic, brother.
Let me draw an analogy from your factual statement. You know, poison networks, so does the antidote. You know, like you were talking about us networking now, maybe we can network on and be the antidote to this situation. I mean, I understand that the poison that they're administering is not analogous. It's factual. I understand that. But you know, I'll turn that fact into an analogy and say, hey, we got to let people know out here, man. There's a problem out here, you know. And as soon as you recognize the fact that there's a problem, that's when the situation occurs to resolve. Don't let yourself be deluded, man. This is wrong. This situation is
right.
Wrong.
Yeah, it is.
Start there. What's up? Yeah. He's right there. Yeah. So start from there. Don't ever forget it. No matter how well some of us might do in this situation, the situation is still wrong. See, that's one of the major issues. Because not all of us are pent up under the wheel, Brother Drew. Some of us are actually riding on top, propelling it along.
Right.
And you know, but we see people falling under the wheel every day, and that's the problem. We riding on top, and we're doing quite well. But every day you see somebody fall under the wheel, and you know what happens when they fall under the wheel. The system is wrong.
Get rolled off. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Get rolled over. And there's not much left when the wheel is finished because the wheel is big.
Yeah, the wheel is dragging.
It
ain't no survival.
Too big to fail. Somebody got to bring it down. Bring it down. So, man, that might be considered sedition, treason. Watch that.
Yes, sir.
You know, they say that the black nationalists and Pan-Africanists should be tried for treason. I've heard that once or twice.
Who says that?
It was a couple of white politicians. It was a while back.
The black national. Wait a minute. White politicians are suggesting that black nationalists and Pan-Africanists should be tried for treason.
Anybody who speaks along that line. And I've heard some blacks go ahead and even say the same thing. Isn't that what they ask that question? Isn't that treason? You know, I'm like, wow, that don't make no sense.
Well, you know, I got a little twist for you here on that. Okay. The last time I heard, and it was recently. This is supposed to be a government. Basically a country of the people, by the people, and for the people. Right?
Right.
That's what they... Yep. Okay. So therefore, any abuse or mistreatment of the people that make up this country, from my perspective, could also be treated as treasonous, if you want to take it there. I mean, you're going against the people who basically the government was set up for. And you're abusing them, and you're making their situations bad. I would consider that treasonous if you want to go the treason route.
Mm.
So, you know, your treason, I'll see your treason and raise you a treason. If you don't want to approach it that way. Like I said, the only thing you do, you have everything going for you, and you're still finding something wrong. I mean, this system is working for you. And you're still finding problems with something that someone else is doing?
Come on, man.
Cut a break. Cut a break, please.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I also thought about that, too. You know, you got everything and you want more.
You got everything. You run everything. Everybody is dancing to your tune. And you still got problems.
You still got problems. Oh, that ain't enough. I mean,
the Pan-Africanists are being treasonous.
Right.
Huh? Come on, man. Cut a break, please.
You know what, man? I'm going to try to remember where I put that clip, but I got that clip, but this one brother asked another brother that because the brother was telling people we should go back to Africa. He said, isn't that treason? I'm like,
Okay. Like I said, back to Africa, when Marvis Garvey tried to pull it off, extreme circumstances, anything fleeing, you know, we got to do something, let's try this. I'm down for that. But if you think you can go to Africa and escape what's going on over here, you're out of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You're crazy. You're going to run into it deeper than that. Call Brother Richard. Call Brother Richard and ask him. I've been trying to get Rich on, but
I can't get him on right now.
I'm just saying, what I'm saying is, that brother's over in Africa. Life ain't hunky-dory over there for him, and it's not going to be hunky-dory if you transplant, migrate, whatever word you want to use, any number. You send 100 African-American people to Africa, it's going to be a problem. You send 100,000, it's going to be a war.
That's right.
So,
Hold on.
You don't see there's no way to go ahead and integrate or go ahead and maybe go ahead and create a treaty or anything like that? I'm not talking about just bum rush the place.
After the war.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, the circumstances over there are as such to create such a delicate balance that what you're talking about would throw it completely off kilter. You throw some more people over there in need. I mean, you're not talking about rich black people going to Africa, are you? Because you know that's not going to happen.
Yes.
Bring her technology in there. She doesn't live there.
It's people. Well, okay. I'll tell you about that later offline. Okay, because there's some other stuff.
Okay.
So you got rich black people going to Africa.
I'll tell you about that later.
I'm asking
a question. Where they going? Because I want to go there now. I mean, if they trying to hook up some,
hold on, hold on, hold on, to hook up some stuff over in Africa. The brother just left yesterday. Wait, hold on. What's going on here? Hold on. Let me slow down a bit. The brother just left yesterday, right? He's got land. He's another individual I know that got land in Africa that's just trying to get people to come over. But he's trying to educate you over here first, okay? So remember I was telling you about my foundation?
How much is this education going to cost me?
Remember I was telling you about my foundation?
Yeah.
I'm also part of that network to go ahead and help with that, teach people about farming and agriculture.
Okay.
Okay? So this is part of a bigger plan. I will go ahead and show you that, and when it's time, I will go ahead and put out a little bit more information so we can get a lot more people.
Can I ask how much is this education going to cost?
It ain't going to cost you. If we do it right, it ain't going to cost you a dime because the plan that I got.
That's music to my ears. And anybody else that, you know, when they take into consideration what's going on here, if you're suggesting that there are viable alternatives in Africa that's going to be well supported, hell yeah, I'd like to hear about that.
Yeah, bro.
I mean, I'm tired enough of this situation to try to make a move.
You know why I say that? Because it's already people have put stuff in motion and been doing stuff for a lot of years, and now it's easier to go ahead and sell people on that plan because people have already put some stuff in motion. And don't get me wrong. I know Africa has a lot of problems, a lot of problems.
A lot of problems.
Don't get me – and I know it's not a utopia. Hey, remember I told you I've been to Kenya and I've been to Somalia. And even when I went back the problems have increased in Somalia – and still, I still see some other little issues over there in Kenya that I don't like. Okay? But if that reflects the times have changed, and so I know that the times changed in that area, it's also changed
Brother
on the rest
Drew,
of the
Brother Drew was trying to say something. Brother Drew?
Yeah, I was saying one of the things about migrating to Africa, I don't, but this is just my personal opinion, by knowing your enemy. Your enemy ain't going to allow you to migrate in mass numbers. Because they always had a fear of us getting together and joining on to another army.
Right.
And you gotta think of something else. If the blacks over here who maybe think they're highly educated anyway start to go over to Africa where all the resources at, and they know that we challenged them while we was in this country, what would happen when you start taking Africans over there to get that idea to challenge the people for their resources? So it's going to be a bloody, bloody war if people try to mass. When Chef Rob was talking about,
you know, well, do you think that African American people and African people could get together? I said, after the revolution, after the war, they can get together and come to some kind of compromise then. But how many bodies will have been lost in the process?
Because you're trying to go over there for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, if you come over there and you don't even have to consider it bum rushing, you come over there with enough African American people coming over there trying to start a homeland, you're gonna have problems, real problems.
Yeah, because they know you're going to start corrupting. In other words, you're going to corrupt the other ones and just say, hey, that's I know. And that's going to start some shit. Everybody, you know, that's logical. Anybody would know eventually these Africans from the west go to the east, they already know what's up.
Huh. Yeah.
And they're going to put those ideas in the Africans in the east. Oh. Hey, that's y'all go. You know what that's going to mean? That means all those China and everybody else in trouble. So if they ever see these brothers and sisters try to do a mass migration, they know that means war.
Hey, hold on, brother. Hold on. You know, I hope you can stick around, Brother Drew. Can you?
Yeah, I'm sticking around.
Okay, because we're about to go into the overtime. You know, we got about 2 minutes left. So call-in number is 626-226-1479. You know, give me a call. Otherwise, in about 2 minutes, you won't be able to go ahead and hear the show, except for in the archives. Let me go ahead and play a song real quick. About to get a take a breather, right?
Look at you now. Hey, do you have anything on you? Hey, do you have anything on you? Hey, do you have anything on you?
Barber.
Pee-wee.
Pee-wee. Yeah, Pee Wee's definitely. It was something Pee Wee said while I took a break here. Go ahead, talk about that financial thing. They're making money off us, Pee Wee.
I said, as far as the when y'all were talking about, you know, us being able to move or migrate to another area that they can give us, that they can, we can call our own. I said, I really don't mind as long as it's warm. You know what I'm saying? But I don't.
That
really
means we're going to start with Brother Drew's Texas, huh, Pee Wee? We'll start with
yeah.
Texas.
Right.
I think we should go east, scoop up in Louisiana. Yeah, we'll take the Delta off your hands. And I wouldn't mind maybe a little Mississippi and Alabama thrown into the mix, and just leave us alone. I mean, we didn't put enough time in Mississippi, Alabama, and Louisiana. Hell, we should own half of that anyway. So.
Hey, I agree. That sounds nice. Yeah. Drew, what's the plan, you know, man? When we get started? Tomorrow?
You know what?
We're starting now. I thought that's the entire idea behind this networking thing, man.
Wait, I need to know how many clothes I need to pack. I'm moving.
Don't start packing yet, man. We got to get the word first.
Okay. Brother Drew, what do you think, man? Packing.
Well, you know, I was just thinking about something when we were talking about that land like that. And I reflect back at the Native Americans. And, you know, they offered the Native Americans land after all that warshed and all that bloodshed. And I was wondering, why did they offer the Native Americans a land when they could have just wiped them out? Or could they wipe them out? I don't think you can never wipe out a particular species of people or nation. So
you can come close.
We ever go? Yeah, you can get close, but that's what I'm saying. But for some reason, they said, hey, let us give y'all this, because they were tired of fighting. And that's something that we're going to have to learn. We ain't never learned that, how to fight for what we want. We always ask. We don't know what the demands are. We don't know how to make people meet our demands. And that's going to be the difference of us ever having something of our own. Because you start putting your demands, it's different than asking. The demand is different than asking. It's like, this is what I need. And this is what I'm prepared to get.
Well, first of all, in response to what the brother just said, let me just say, it's real easy to give somebody something that don't belong to you in the first place. That's the most obvious thing about that. Let me give you some land that I don't really own. I mean, it was here when I got here, but I'm going to give it to you. So you'll stop butchering my women and children and burning up the towns and so forth and so on. That's a good deal for the people that's giving up the land. So that automatically creates a problem with me. But it's part of the hustle. As far as our people, the people with the high melanin concentration, fighting. You know, whenever I hear the term "let sleeping dogs lie," I just automatically think that they're talking about black people. I mean, for some strange reason, I'm caught up in this delusion or fantasy or whatever you want to call it, that if black people, if the rage and anger of black people was unleashed, it would be one of the most powerful forces ever unleashed on this earth. Where I got that concept from, I don't know, but it sure makes me feel comfortable, except that, you know, I may never see this power unleashed.
And we might never see ourselves moving, or I mean, sorry, you know, migrating or whatever too.
Right.
A land of our own, because really they I think they're a little afraid of us flourishing. And second, they make a hell of a lot of money off us being ignorant. Is one thing I'm kind of, you know, I look down on that situation, but I mean, at the same time, it's an idea. It's a good idea. I love for it to happen, truthfully, but who knows?
Well, see, one of the problems is that you've already, and when I say you, I'm talking about black people. You've already proven that left to your own devices and without any interference from any outside forces, that you can become a very profitable situation, you know, to rival some of their own situations, which means you can take money out of their pocket and food out of their mouths and blah, 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 blah. I mean, you know, I hear, I've heard, you know, on the blog talk radio thing more than any place else, I've heard the name Black Wall Street on numerous occasions, and I really wonder, do people truly understand what Black Wall Street was, exactly what happened there, and so forth and so on?
I've talked to them. Never even heard of them.
They were extremely successful, extremely dangerously as far as the other race is concerned. They were dangerously successful in what they were doing in Black Wall Street. They created a shockwave because they were doing so well. And then it was decided, well, maybe they shouldn't do so well. So, you know.
Simple as that, huh? Oh, we can't let the
Negroes what can they do? I mean, you go ahead, let them do their thing. And then when you let them do their thing, they show you what they can do. That's what I'm saying. You know, anytime I've heard that saying, let sleeping giants lie, I think of black people. Because if this ain't the biggest fucking sleeping giant that I've ever known in my life, I don't know what is.
God damn, wake the hell up, shit.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
it's going
to be hard to wake up with a lot of our brothers already think we succeeded just with Obama getting in office. A lot of them think we succeeded, so they figure we won.
Oh, yeah, that we made it. They can relax now. Yeah, I listen to that shit.
No.
We made it. We can do it. We got a black president, man. Don't be feeding into that shit.
There's no factual basis for that thought process. So if you're thinking like that, show me, okay, if you're thinking like that, if you really feel that way, then you should feel strongly enough about that topic to convince somebody else that the way you feel is right and just and true. Present your evidence. Show me how we succeeded just because Barack Obama became president, and then I'll believe that. Show me what a success is. I mean, yeah, they found, you know, they got a dark man in there in the office. Out of 44, we got one.
You know, I push that a whole lot, and I always say one of the things I always try to tell people. I said, "Well, our situation ain't gonna change. It don't matter who get there. How many other presidents came before them, and how has our situation gotten better? You know, that's a question that stumps a few. But they come up with that same old thing. Well, you got. I don't got shit. Stop it.
Oh well, wait a minute. You do okay. Don't minimize the fact that there's a black man that's become president. I mean, that's a hurdle that we've gotten over.
I don't think I did
And hurdles for black people. See, hurdles for black people aren't like Hurdles for black people aren't like hurdles for white people. Hurdles for black people are always monumental. Always monumental because first of all, you're not even supposed to be alive after what they've done. I mean, you keep fighting back, you keep succeeding, you keep accomplishing. And that's not supposed to happen. You're supposed to just lay down and get wiped out after all of the bullshit that we put on you. Come on.
I agree. Slavery didn't kill us. That's what I was saying.
The Reconstruction didn't kill us. Crow didn't kill us. Civil rights didn't kill us. Drugs didn't even kill us. We are the ultimate cockroach.
AIDS ain't killing us. Ain't killing us quick enough, is it?
Well, what was they doing down there with Mr. Williams down in Atlanta?
Definitely.
Because the word was they were trying to figure out a way to kill us, and couldn't even come up with that. That was the quote unquote conspiracy theory going on about the brother that they arrested for killing all of those black children in Atlanta.
And, right.
Actually, it was a scheme for them to develop a way to kill young black kids. That's the conspiracy theory that was going around at that time. And then they arrested a black man and put everything to bed. Well, so I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. I wasn't in Atlanta. I was in Chicago. So I don't know what happened, but I wouldn't put anything past these people. See, that's the problem. The fact that I feel that way. The fact that I've experienced so much in this world, in this lifetime, that anything is possible with these people now in my mind. I have to think that way, or otherwise I'm not being true to myself. I'm not protecting myself. Anything is possible with these people. Anything.
That's sad.
Yes, yes. And it's not my fault. I mean, you can call me a conspiracy theorist. You can call me a reverse racist. You can take it wherever you want to. And the only thing I had to say is, hey, I'm not the one that made me feel this way. You made me feel this way. Like I said before, there is a problem. Never deny that there's a problem. Never try to fix the no, there's no problem, it's all in your head. Bullshit. I ain't got that much hair. Not for all the bullshit going on here. I don't have enough hair to contemplate something like this. My hair would explode if I could even think on the level of wrong that's going on to black people in this country, all people in this country. If I was even think about that, my hair would explode. So, you know, this ain't no conspiracy to me. This shit is real.
Yep. It's real, just like the cannibalism. You know, doing some research on that cannibalism, come to find out that this shit happened in America 3 times. And where they had to kill thousands of people because of this this latest episode where they talking about people eating people. And this shit, the movies, the zombies, all this shit actually happened in America.
You're referring to the highway incident where they caught the guy, he was eating the body or something like that?
Yeah, this actually happened in America where they had to kill thousands of people 3 different times. I mean, 1832, 1862, and 1935, they done killed over thousands of people for eating people.
Hey, like I said, I'd be remiss if I didn't take into consideration that, hey, this is possible with these people here. I'm not going to even question your factual data. I mean, if you say it happened, I'm going to accept the fact that it happened.
Yeah,
1935. I'm not surprised. I am not surprised.
1935. Okay. 1935, Brother AC, and go Google 1935 cannibalism in Florida Keys, and you'll see the military had to come in and kill 2,000 people. In 1862, they went to Hawaii, and the Hawaiians were fleeing off the island because people were eating people, and they had to call in the military of the USA to come over there. And also during the Civil War.
They're not releasing any data as to why this happened. You know, of course not. They're just saying what?
It happened. They only saying it happened.
What the fuck they would do? I'm like that.
Yes, sir. Man. We know something happened, and it's trying to happen again.
Okay. There goes the researcher in me. I'm trying to recall your data and think about, okay, what was going on in this country or in Hawaii. I don't know what was going on in Hawaii, but I'm okay. You said 35.
Yeah,
said
1935. The Civil War was one thing that was going.
The Civil War. Obviously, the turmoil and strife going on in the Civil War would cause some people to go over the deep end. Okay, you said 35. The recovery hadn't completely slipped into place. So basically, people were still starving in this country. That was not too long after the Great Depression. So yeah,
right.
People were still under. You see what I'm getting at, Brother Drew? There's a whole bunch of stress and strife going on during these times of completely unacceptable behavior. Cannibalism? Oh please. So, you know, trying to find the cause for what's going on here. But you know, I don't doubt you at all. I mean.
Oh, hold on. You know what, man? Just maybe remind me of something. I was going to school in California, right? And the research paper I did out there was on mass murderers, right?
Okay.
And all of them were white, all except this guy there, resting with Wayne Williams, dude. Yeah, all of them was always all white. But it was also, they had one group of mass murderers there. I think they were in Oklahoma. They consider themselves to be vampires. They were kidnapping people, snatching people off the street, and going in drinking their blood. And that was about the time, about that after the it was like about the Depression time. I think it was in like 1932 or 34, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And they did this for a few years, for a couple of years. They got caught.
Well, see that creates a problem for me because I don't see anything as depressing as what's going on now. when everything is a land of plenty and still so many people are suffering. So you know that could be the that could be the catalyst for you know the situations that came to pass before. But man,
yeah, it's one of them, you know, just like you were saying, that was a bad time for this country. Right now is a bad time for this country. So people thinking I'm all messed up. So, or trying to go ahead and find some way to self-medicate, so they can take themselves away.
Well, hey, brother, I'm gonna have to call in an evening. I have to take care of some situations here.
No problem, brother. It was good talking to you.
Hey, hook this up as soon as Brother Drew. Good
yes,
hearing you again, man. I'll be checking. Your show comes on tomorrow Saturday, right?
Yes, at 8 p.m. Central.
8 p.m. Central. Okay. Be tuning you in tomorrow, brother. Like the brother said, love to hear that music. And the conversation is right on par too. So you can't lose with that situation. So I'll be hollering at you tomorrow, Chef Rob.
All right,
as always. Okay. Pee Wee, right. I might have to let you do my hair sometime soon.
Yeah, you need to come
on
now.
Take care. Keep struggling. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Brother Drew.
Yes, sir.
You know what? Give a little, insight of what you're going to have tomorrow, then we're going to go ahead and close out the show.
I hadn't even scheduled nothing yet, Chef Rock, because I'm debating to do something dedicated to the police. And dedicated, but they ain't gonna like the dedication. Either that, or I'm gonna do the have warrior sister speak. Let the female warrior speak.
Yeah, well, you gonna have to do something for that time slot, bro. Because when people get used to listening to you, I get used to listening. Especially if I ain't got nothing to do, I'm there.
Oh yeah, we're gonna be on. I hadn't debated which topic I'm gonna go with yet.
Well, how about both?
Yeah, every time I do a show, Brother Chef, the police come right by my house.
Really?
Yeah, all the time.
Oh man, they didn't hurt you.
Oh yeah, they definitely know.
Oh my goodness, man, these people, man, Oh my goodness. Well, brother, that is crazy, man. I mean, we getting that, man. Like I was saying, when he was talking about the wheel. And I kept saying security,
right.
We need to beef up on our security so we can go ahead and tear down their security. Okay?
You right.
And everything that we got, we don't have enough security for ourselves. And part of that security is going in teaching individuals, teaching us, hey, look, we're in this place. Let's deal with their laws. Okay? This is another way we can protect ourselves. That's another security blanket. We'll keep a lot of brothers and sisters out of their system.
Yeah, that's true.
So, the more we go here and we do that, the more that's what we need to teach people, that security, what you can and cannot do. And then keep that message going. And for me, I got to teach you how to go ahead and feed yourself. If I teach you how to feed yourself and the stuff we grow, you can also put that on your back. You can clothe yourself. And I teach you how to grow this stuff, and you can also go ahead and build your house with some of this stuff. So... we got some work to do, but I can't give up the fight, man.
Right. You're right. I'm trying not to say too much.
Yeah, that's okay, bro. I'm gonna go ahead and close it out right now, bro. Hey, I'm gonna be looking for you tomorrow, man.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
All right, Pete.
Hey, Brother Drew.
All right, Pete.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is Chef Rob's show. Thanks for coming. Thanks for listening. Good night.